Some with you, some with me. Yeah. Well, you be sure and get at least one of these books. And he's been working for the prison ministry, the Rock of Ages prison ministry, for several years, and he's a very very important component of that operation in getting studies and material into the prisons. And never know what an impact that might be. You never know how far it's reached out. But Brother Fred was preaching the night I got saved here. I'll say more about that later. And I was brought in here, come in here on Saturday night. They had a Saturday night prayer meeting, and I heard this having a prayer meeting here. And I was 14 years old, and now I'm a little bit older, but I'm not real old. I'm a little bit older. Brother Fred, you come around to it. State, and I suddenly realized that I had just driven under a tornado. And not that I drive that. Sorry, state troopers or city policemen or something like that here. And so it's always good to be a welcome. Thank you, Pastor, for inviting us. We've been looking forward to this time. We pastored here years ago. I think it's back in the late 60s, I think it was, when I was a pastor here, and had a good word, good ministry. Didn't have a baptistry. We had to go over some spring between here and Piedmont. I forgot where it is, but it's back over here in the woods somewhere. One Saturday, we were over there baptized 14 people, and God's just been good to our ministry. I tell you what, Brother Roger, I won't bar these kids and take them with me to the next meeting I go to take up the offering for me, okay? I guarantee you that was a blessing. I tell you, train them, train them, train them. Don't shove them off in the corner. Train them, train them. And, they need to hear old-fashioned leather long preaching every once in a while, I'll tell you. Amen. We've been with Rock of Ages now almost 16 years. We'll be next month. And pastored for 43 years. Some people called it pestering. But matter of fact, I was on my computer several years ago, and I was writing out some stuff, and I wrote out a sentence that said, churches that I used to, that I was pastor, the church that I was pastoring at that time. Well, spell check didn't recognize pastoring, and it changed it to pestering. I'm telling the truth. If I'm standing here, it did. And, so I guess I did pester a lot of people, but God's been good to us. We came to Rock of Ages, and we're still in the education department. And I'm still working with the college. We came to work with the college, but we also were going into prisons and seeing a lot of people saved. And I've seen old-fashioned conviction that you talked about in prison more than I've seen in the churches in the last few years. And so we got to a point that Dr. Ellis wanted to start developing this study material and books and booklets and material that we can put in the prisons. And so I told him, I said, Dr. Ellis, I'm getting a little older. He said, I understand that. I want to pull you out of the prison. And I want you to just concentrate on developing material. And so that's what we've been doing for the last several years. Also still working with the Bible College. And we worked with the Prisoner's Bible Institute for several years. Barbara enrolled all the enrollees from the Prisoner's Bible Institute, averaging between 75 and 100 a week. And right now, it's down a little because we're running into this problem. Of course, COVID started it. But we're running into a problem, Brother Roger. We can't get written material in the prison. And so our enrollment in our Bible, Prisoner's Bible Institute, is down a little bit. We've still got a little over 12,000 that are studying in the Prisoner's Bible Institute. And they'll answer somewhere around 20, 20,000 questions from a Bible, a King James Bible. We don't use any other. They'll answer questions just by reading the Bible. And that sounds like a pretty good discipleship program to me, don't it, to you? And so they do that. But we're concentrating a little more now on writing. Over a year ago, Barbara and I felt like we needed to move and get closer to Chad and Wade. It's good to have Tiffany this morning. Wade misbehaving, and she wouldn't let him come. No, he got called out, and so he's on duty today. But Barbara was diagnosed with Parkinson, and we just felt like it was time for us to move and get closer to them. Because I can call them, they get there quicker, and they have. They've been wonderful. And so I told Dr. Ellis, and he said, I think you're doing the right thing. What I want you to do is just to continue doing what you're doing. And he said, our missionaries are going to be writing some stuff. I want you to proof it and get it ready for print. And so we're doing that. Barbara's a tremendous proofer. Matter of fact, I get aggravated at her sometimes. I'm going to have to buy another gross of red pens, I think. But anyway, she's a tremendous proofreader. And he said, we're wanting to get new material into the prisons. We've got a print shop that is capable, and it has in the place, of printing up to 5 million pieces of literature every year. Every year. Somebody's got to write that. Somebody's got to write it. And I just thank God when I got too old to get on the front lines that they found something that I could do. I always hated desk jobs, but I got one now. And I'm loving it. That's where God put me, and I'm enjoying it. I want you to pray for us. Pray that God will bless and use us as we continue to serve Him in this capacity. I've got some prayer cards, if it's all right for me to leave them right here. And we just ask you to pray for us, that God will use us. That's all I want. I don't want any glory. I don't want any fame. I just want God to be honored and God to be blessed and for God to use me. I want to stay under His power and under His direction. Take your Bibles. I appreciate you letting me give a little bit of an update there. Take your Bibles now, if you will, please, and turn to Psalm 42 and 43, both of them, Psalm 42 and 43. And I'm going to read both of these Psalms, and don't get all shook up, it's only 16 verses. But these two Psalms, many commentators suggest that the subject of these two psalms is the same, and that originally they were both one psalm. You know that Psalms is the hymn book of the Bible, don't you? You know that. And so
By the way, I can't go to face story, but I've worked with the six ladies and Solomon and Hezekiah from the guilty self. And but they claimed it didn't be solved before one saw the reason it. And the reason of that is there are some themes that run through both the Psalms that are the same theme. And we'll see that. And not only that, Psalm 43 has no title nor super subscription. It's not have a title in it. I got to preach it on the title. That's a great step. He is like his. That's the same as I. Jason Wright, it's just a little gravity here. And so, the pastor. The pastor saw my wife needed them, so he paid his wife and my wife already did. But I'm just. But these psalms, they say they're built for them. And Paul and Meadows, he moved from that discouragement through the healings of Paul first to get back when he even. Rightly God and get his victory back and amen is death so that's his right in that thing. Advance in the Bible it's not some foreground gyration of the body. What it is, it's a spontaneous reaction to the blessings of God, what it is. And but anyway he gets his victory back and so in these Psalms and by the way, Psalm 42 says it's a mishkel, a psalm of instruction. The word mishkel means instruction. So what we're going to give you this morning is some instruction that'll help you. You may not have ever been in a time of discouragement. Well, I guarantee you might as well lock her down, buddy. You're headed for one. You're headed for one. I got a stinking suspicion we've all been there. Someone said you're either in a storm just coming out of one or fixing to go into one. And so that's probably true. But anyway, in this psalm, two times, and we'll find it. I am going to read my text. Amen. They didn't teach this to me in the Bible college of Brother Roger. Both read your text, announce your title, give 3 points in the poem, and let them go. But anyway, in these two chapters, in these two psalms, twice, and both of them are in Psalm 42, twice it says, where is thy God? Where is thy God? And that's the thought for the message this morning. You see, the enemy had old David and built a place where David couldn't wiggle out of. And the enemy was asking David, where is thy God? I mean, David is the one that God testified that he was a man after God's own heart. That's the type of man that wrote these psalms. And here's a man that's a man after God's own heart. And all of a sudden, he's in the valley of despair. And the devil is taunting him and saying, where is thy God? Now, if God is what you say he is, where is he? Where is he? And so I want to look at these psalms. All right. I think I've hopefully got your attention. Maybe you hadn't gone to sleep yet. Let's begin reading with verse 1, Psalm number 42. The Bible says, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I'd gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise and with the multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Oh, here's what you need to do when you get to that point. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of my countenance. O God, my soul is cast down. But there's the first step to victory. You see it that you're in trouble. You need some help. Oh, my soul, he is cast down to me. Therefore will I remember thee to the lands of Jordan and of the Hebrides to my soul. Deep falleth unto thee with the noise of thy waters fast. All thy way with thy billows is run over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime and in the night, and his song shall be with me, and my prayer in unto the God of my life. Do you feel David's got a shout moving, begin to move in his soul here? You see in the transition? Look at verse 9. I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgot me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? And with a sword in my bones, my enemies repulse me. While they say unto me, here it is again, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the help of my countenance. Now back up in verse 5, he's talking about the help, that God is the help of his countenance. His countenance needed some help. When it, by the time he gets to verse 11, his countenance has got some help. Amen. And so he says, the help, my countenance. His countenance had gotten healthy. Moving on, verse 1, 43. Judge me, O God, and plead my case against an ungodly nation. Oh, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Oh, send out thy light and truth and let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacle. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God, my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the help of my countenance. And so there's three thoughts here that we find and we want to share with you this morning. Three times we look at this psalm, it says, hope thou in God. And so this is going to be the division, the way we're going to divide these psalms up, these verses up, and give us the outline. First of all, in verses 1 through 5, I want you to notice that David had a deep craving for God. Oh, that our churches today, our people in our churches today would once again thirst for God. David was thirsty for God. I want you to get this possible scenario, this possible scene that is taking place here. David is on the run. He wrote this song from the experience that he had while he was on the run from Absalom, his son. Absalom was trying to dethrone him and destroy him. And David was on the run, and he was tired, he was hungry, he was weary, and on top of that, his body, his old age body, had gone just about as far as he could go with it. And so he finds a place to stop. And we find in our psalm, we read that they stopped on a little hill called Mizar. That name Mizar means a little hill. And so when he's running, you find all the kids over 2 Samuel, I think it's chapter 13, 14, 15, somewhere along in there. But I do know that while he's on the run, there's a little fella that was in the administration of King Saul, the king prior to David. And he's running along. You'll find it in 2 Samuel 16 and verse 13. You'll find that this little fellow by the name of Shimei was running along, cursing and hollering at him and cursing him and throwing rocks at him. And you'll find in that verse in 2 Samuel 16 and 13 that he is running alongside the hillside. And so here's David, and he's tired, he's thirsty. And so they pull up in this place, and I don't know, he may have found a rock. Some writer thinks he found a cave. I don't know. I wasn't there, and neither were they. But anyway, he pulls up, he finds a place to rest. And there's a stream that's flowing nearby this area, and he's gone down there and got in a drink of water to restore some of the energy that his body needs. And I can't help but think, Pastor, while he's leaning over, drinking out of that stream of water, but what he got to thinking about the times when he was back at Jerusalem and he'd go to the house of God. He said, with my friends, and they had turned on him. He was there all alone, just his personal bodyguard and personal staff that had gone with him. And there he is, and he gets that drink of water, and all of a sudden he begins to think about those wonderful days at the house of God when he got what he needed. You know what? I run across people every once in a while and say, well, no need for me to go to church today. I'm so discouraged I can't help anybody. God bless your heart. That's when you ought to be there. Amen. That's when you ought to get yourself down to the house of God. And old David, he thinks about it. He can't go. He wishes he could go and be at the house of God like he used to, but he can't do that. And so suddenly, they're sitting there. His bodyguards are all standing in attention. Suddenly, they hear a little rustling down there in the bushes. And those bodyguards stiffen. They pull swords and get spears ready. They stiffen. Every muscle in them is ready to respond to whatever might come out of that bush. Maybe it's Absalom. Maybe it's one of his henchmen. Who knows what it is? And so they're standing there on guard, ready. Suddenly, this little heart walks out of the bushes. You know what a heart is? It's what we'd call a buck deer, a male deer. And I've got plenty of those around here nowadays. I've got to where I even have to watch them up, throwing them down the interstate. Liable run over one of them things. I think the interstate's a place to graze. But anyway, this was a male deer. And he comes out, and it's obvious that deer checks my herd. Back at that day, the dogs, that deer is running for its life. And it's hurt. It's true that a deer straight to the knees of being hunted and saved. He's got to have a lot of water to sustain himself. Amen. Oh, glory to God. I mean, when the devil's heart is on your trail, it's when you need more of God and you want to get in this book and stay in it and get more of it for yourself. Amen? Amen. And so David sees that little deer. All and the similarities between that deer and himself are not missed by David. All of a sudden he said, yeah, I'm being chased. He's being chased. He went straight to the water. I think right about there is when David began to turn. I believe right about then is when he began to say, oh, hope in God. Hope in God. He is here. He is my help. He is a present help in the time of need. And so David said, tears, all he had had up to this point for meat was his tears that had flown down his face. And oh, that desire to commune with God and the parallel between him and the deer. Oh, then all of a sudden, the shrill little voice. I can imagine, I don't know what kind of voice Shimei I had, but I can imagine a little, just a little bitty brat. Amen. Running around with a shrill voice, maybe to the sung first tenor for the Gold City Quartet. I don't know. But he said, where is thy God? Where is thy God? I mean, you say you're a man after God's own heart. Where is he now? And old David says, wait a minute. says, I'll just focus on. Amen. Listen. When you get to that place of victory, don't you dare forget to say, oh, thou, God. That's the first step. First step.
Thank you.